Okay. Excuse me, sorry. Today I want to talk about the Zemer Dror Yikra. Dror Yikra seems to be perhaps the first of our Shabbos Miros historically, the earliest of our Shabbos Miros. It was written by the famous Dunash ben Labrat, who lived in Spain in the 10th century. He was a Talmud of Rav Sadigon. Yeah, he lived in Spain, but he was shtark. After high school, he went to Bavel, to Yeshiva, to learn by Rav Sadigon. He was one of the, first of all, one of the early Sephardic Paitanim, as well as one of the founders of, you know, our Hebrew grammar. You know, one of the earliest Medaktikim was, I mean, besides Rav Sadigon, his Rebbe was Dunash ben Labrat. Rashi, whenever he deals with Diktuk in Chumash, sometimes quotes Menachem ben Saruk, and sometimes quotes Dunash ben Labrat. They were not arch enemies in a personal sense, but they fought a lot, very vociferously, and very, they fought very vociferously over many Diktuk issues. So that's Dunash ben Labrat in the 10th century. We nowadays say two piyutim written by Dunash ben Labrat. One is Dror Yikra, and the other, which, you know, the... I'm sure everyone's noticed the first, second, third, and sixth paragraphs. The acrostic spells out Dunash. And as well as at Sheva Brachos, we always introduce the benching with a piyut by Dunash ben Labrat, Divai Haser Vegam Charon, Vegam Ilein Bishir Yaron, Nichenu Vmagli Tzedek, She'ever Kaspene Aron, is Dunash. It's actually the same meter, more or less, as Dror Yikra also. That's also written by Dunash ben Labrat. Agav, in some Sidurim, it has a form of Devai Haser, where the meter doesn't work. It says, Devai Haser v'gam charon, v'azi lein b'shir yaron, n'cheinu v'magli tzedek, she'eber has b'nei yishurim b'nei aron, which are like too many words to really fit that that poem. And also, it's unclear why I would say b'nei yishurim b'nei aron. The explanation for that monstrosity seems to be the original text is very clearly, if you look in the Gniza fragments, the original text is she'eber has b'nei aron. Okay, why it says that is not clear, because we're not sure what occasion he wrote it for. I mean, it doesn't say anything about benching of Sheva Brachos, right? So it's not clear why he wrote it for saying near Birkas Kohanim, or maybe just Shevir Kas B'nei Aron is a nice thing, right? Hashem should fulfill the Vrach Hashem Yishmerecha. And then a minute later, in a lot of Kisvei Yad of ancient, Sidurim from the time of Rishonim, it had B'nei Aron, but people weren't comfortable. What if there were no Kohanim? So in an old Machzorim, it says B'nei Aron, but if there's no Kohanim, say B'nei Yeshurun instead, because it rhymes more or less, and then it'll be more honest. Somehow that developed into from B'nei Aron to the choice of B'nei Aron or B'nei Yeshurun, depending on the circumstances. And then, you know, once they're both written in the Siddur, you don't want to skip anything. So it turned into B'nei Yeshurun, B'nei Aron. But, you know, if I was leading the benching Sheva Brachos, I would just stick with the original B'nei Aron and assume that Dunash ben Labrat knew what he was talking about. And even if there are no Kohanim present, Hashem could still fulfill the bracha of Yerech Hashem Yishmerecha that's said every day by Kohanim all over the world. Okay, that is not about Dror Yikra. Dror Yikra, as we know, is written by Dunash ben Labrat. Agav, one of the most boring aspects of learning Zmiros, which I don't want to dwell on, and I haven't even mentioned until now, but in this example we cannot mention it, is the meter. The interesting parts are the rhyme. What makes the poetry? Other than the substance, the content, which is mostly what we're interested in, there's the rhyme scheme. Here it has a classic rhyme scheme. Not like there's no refrain. So the rhyme scheme is just that every stanza has four lines, and all four lines rhyme. Right, first is Lebanon Bat, Vinzachem Kumo Vavat, Nim Shemchem Velo Yishbat, Shvubanuchu Biyom Shabbat. And likewise, every stanza rhymes the four lines with themselves. And the acrostic. Here, the acrostic in most of the stanzas is Dunash, for Dunash ben Labrat. There's also, in poetry, of course, there's also the issue of meter, meaning how long each line is. Right? So, when it comes to meter, when it comes to the piyutim that we have, like Zemiros Shabbos, etc., sometimes they weren't really makpid on meter that much, but usually there's some hakpada on meter, but some paitanim, such as Rabbi Lazar Kalir, the meter is just the same number of words, you know, more or less. You can count two short words if you want. So the meter is a more or less. You're not going to have very long lines or very short lines, but you're not terribly makpid. For some of the paitanim, they were makpid to have the same number of syllables. That's a very strict meter. every line has the same number of syllables. Dunash ben Labrat was super machmir. He was the most machmir on meter. He kept the meter of the Arabic poetry of his time, which is not only do you need the same number of syllables in each line, you need the same number of long syllables and short syllables, like a shva is a short syllable. You know, a patach is a long syllable. And the short syllables and long syllables need to be in the same places. So if you look at Dror Yikra, he's very, very machmir on the meter. Each line of Dror Yikra is one short syllable, three long, one short, three long. De, zapat, a shva, ror yikra, le, also a short shva, beinim bat, ve, yin tsar chem, ke, mo vavat, ne, im shim chem, ve, lo yushbat. She, vu, nuchu seems to be the original one, because you don't want to add an extra ve, she, vu, nuchu, de, yom shabbat. Really, each line is shva, three vowels. So he's very, very strict about that, which is why, like, sometimes he had to be a little creative in terms of the grammar of the words in order to get it to fit his rhyme scheme. Like, for example, ni'im shimchem, ni'im really should be possessive, ni'im of something. And here it's not of something, it's really an adjective. Your shame is na'im, but, you know, you have to be flexible in grammar if you want to be very strict in the meter. You can't win them all. Okay, so that's just... This is the strictest meter of any of the Zmiros, which is why, like, if you sing it to a tune, right, you don't notice meter if you're saying, like, the Yotzros for a Shabbos Parah or something, but if you sing it to a tune, you notice the meter, like, the tunes work really, really well in Dror Yikra, because the meter is so strict. So let's look at what he said. Now let's look at the content a little, or at least to start. Dror Yikra is a very fascinating structure. There are six stanzas, and only the first and last stanza mention Shabbos. Right? Dror Yikra Levanim Bas, etc. Shuvu Nuchu B'Yom Shabbos. And the last stanza, Shemor Shabbat Kodshecha, right? The first and last stanzas lead into Shabbos. The middle stanzas have nothing to do with Shabbos whatsoever. They are all about Geula. Now, of course, this is a theme we've seen again and again. It's not a big chiddush, the link between Shabbos and Geula. We know Shabbos is Me'in Olam Haba, and the Zchus of Shabbos, Yisrael, is Nigalim. And here, clearly, the theme is going to be, right, that Shabbos leads to Geula. So you start and end with Shabbos, means a song about how you should keep Shabbos. The first stanza says, keep Shabbos. The last stanza says, keep Shabbos. But if you keep Shabbos, what will happen? If you keep Shabbos, that will lead to the Geula. Because Shabbos already, Me'ein Olam Haba, gives you a taste of Geula. So in the Zuchos of Shabbos, we have Geula. And just Shabbos already gives us a taste of Geula, because we feel the Me'ein Olam Haba, and that is mechazek us in our longing for and faith in the ultimate Geula. The really clever part about Dror Yikra, I think, is the opening. Dror Yikra Levanim Bat. Right? So he relies on a lot of psukim. Almost every line here is a takeoff of a pasuk somewhere. So Dror Yikra is obviously Ukratem Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveha from the Yovel, from Parshas Bahar. Why Levain and Bas? I mean, that's the rhyme scheme, but why Levain and Bat? Where do you find Bain and Bat in the Torah? So you find Bain and Bat in the Torah in Shabbos, right? Right? It doesn't say that by most mitzvahs of the Torah, but by Shabbos you have Bain and Bat. So what does Dror Yikra Levain and Bat mean? If I'm just reading this line, Dror Yikra Levain and Bat, I'm wondering exactly what it means. On the one hand, maybe what's Dror? Freedom. It means keep Shabbos. On Shabbos, we're free from the burdens of work, right? The famous drasha, v'esizakam lechtecha, you should see it as if all your work is done. So maybe it means have Shabbos, call freedom from work on Shabbos, and have a real restful day of Shabbos. Levein abat, like the Torah says, Shabbos has to be kept by sons and daughters. On the other hand, ukrasim Dror, Dror means more than menucha, right? Dror is like, the Yovel is Dror, and the Yovel really already has echoes of Geula, right? Of perfection, of the perfect society, of ishtachas gafno v'tachas te'inato, etc. Maybe Dror Yikra Levein and Bat is talking about how Hashem will call the Geula, will call the freedom, because he'll redeem us from the Gullus and give freedom to the whole Klal Yisrael. And I think this is purposeful. The first line, you're not sure, is he talking about Shabbos? Or is he talking about the ultimate Geula L'Asid Lavo? And I think perhaps he purposely wanted to make that line ambiguous, because that's the whole theme of this and many of the others, Mir Shabbos, that Shabbos Me'in Olam Haba, Shabbos is connected to Geula, Shabbos was, you know, especially think of our ancestors, right, who might have had a very tough time, very persecuted, etc., you know, and all week long, who could think of Geula, and, you know, and they were very difficult life, and all of a sudden on Shabbos, you get a little feeling of Geula. So here, Dror Yikra Levain and Bas, V'yin Tzarchem Kemo Vavas, and If we keep Shabbos, well, I think also there's hints of a greater drawer. The Yinzachan Kovavas, Hashem will guard us. Kimo Vavas, Vavas is really a, it should be part of a phrase, is a, like we say in Hamapil, which is really a pasuk in Yeshaya, I believe. I have that. In Zechariah. But it's also a pasuk. That's Kiatahami early Ishon Bas Ayin. Right? Bas, Bavas Ayin is Ishon, means the pupil. The pupil is where you see from, meaning it's the most like sensitive thing that you have to protect. Right? What do you protect most out of anything in your body? Right? You want to protect your eyes so that chas v'shalom something doesn't, you know, something hits your pupil. You won't be able to see anymore, chas v'shalom. So it's just a lashon of the greatest protection you can have. So, and that's what we have in a few places that the Torah compares Hashem's protection of Am Yisrael like a bavas ayin, and specifically the Yinsarchem is reminiscent of Hazinu. What does it say in Hazinu? It says, Yitzirenhu ki'ishon eino. Yinsarchem is a poetic form of Shmor. Hashem guards us ki'ishon, ishon bas ayin. Ishon is the same as a bavas. Hashem protects us like ishon eino, like his pupil, meaning he gives us the greatest protection. So Hashem's going to protect us on the greatest level. Obviously here, even though he's the Yitzirenhu comes from Hazinu, he can't say ishon because he has to rhyme with Shabbos. The Yitzirenhu, the Yinsarchem kamo vavas, Hashem will, he's talking to us, the Python's talking to us, deroy yukrele vein and vas, the Yinsarchem kamo vavas, and Hashem will guard us like he guards it's like sometimes we say nowadays, we say that kid was the apple of his father's eye or something. That's the same thing. It has nothing to do with an apple. It just means that he guarded him like it was the most chaviv thing to him in the whole world. Our shame will be pleasant. Meaning shame here means a legacy that Hashem will make every that we will be pleasant to Hashem and things will go well for us. V'lo yushpat, and our name will not shovet. I mean, our name will not end. It's like in Tanakh, your name is your legacy, right? V'lo yimachesh shemo b'Yisrael, right? V'lo yimachesh shem hames in Rus. Meaning, our name will go on. Our legacy and our family will go on and be protected by Hashem and be loved by Hashem. Shivu v'nuchu v'yom Shabbos. How do we accomplish all of this? How do we get Hashem to call freedom for us and Hashem to guard us and Hashem to make our make our name great and continue our legacy and our progeny? Shivu v'nuchu b'yom Shabbos. By shivu is sitting. Where do you get sitting from? Because it says in Parshas Bishalach, Shivu ishtachtav al yetzei ishmim komo b'yom Shabbos, right? Meaning Shabbos is, one of those shonos of Menucha on Shabbos is l'shevet, right? You have to stay here and not leave your tchum. Shivu ishtachtav, shivu. Nuchu is, of course, v'yom ha'yom Menucha on Shabbos is all over the Chumash. If we sit, shivu ishtachtav, and we're Menucha, and we keep Shabbos, b'yom Shabbat, then we'll be zocher for all these things from Hashem. Okay, maybe let's... Do one more paragraph, and then we'll continue next week. Now we're talking about the Geula. Drosh Naviv Ulami. Drosh is to, the truth is, what's Naviv Ulami? Naveh, literally is, they use it in Hebrew sometimes, there's Naveh, a lot of things. It just means a dwelling place. But we know, Chazal Darshan, Zeke Levian Behu, what's one of the drushes on this? I'll build him Beis HaMikdash, right? Rashi says there, right? Navi, my dwelling place, means the Beis HaMikdash. The ulami, the ulam is part of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So Navi v'ulami, technically Navi is the what we call the Heichal, and ulami is the ulam, but it means Hashem should ledrosh the Beis HaMikdash, meaning he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Right, in the Chumash we find we're supposed to ledrosh the Beis HaMikdash, l'sichno tidrushu uvasa shama, but obviously in terms of the geula l'asad lavo, Hashem has to take a role in this, and we ask Hashem to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, drosh Navi v'ulami. Again, de rosh navi ve ulami ve os yesha aseimi. The a of ase is also a shva because it is a chata patach, so it counts as the rhyme scheme. I was really hoping it would be a chata patach, but it is. So de rosh navi ve ulami means rebuild the base of anchors. Ve os yesha aseimi. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where he asks Hashem aseimi os latova, do a sign meaning like wonders, like miracles, right? Os osamosim, do a sign of yesha of Yeshua for us. Nitasorek bitoch karmi, the rhyme scheme is me, of course. Nitasorek, plant a sorek is a branch of a grapevine. right? Betoch Karmi, in my Kerem. I mean, Am Yisrael is compared to a Kerem many, many places in in Tanakh. So Betoch Karmi, the Kerem is Kerem Beit Yisrael. Netaso Reik, Hashem should plant us. Meaning, here it's not exactly clear what this line means. You can take it two ways. The Netaticha Sorek is, I think, if I'm not mistaken, from the Haftorah of Parshas Maaseh. The Haftorah of Parshas Maaseh says, V'yanochi Netatich Sorek kulo zera emes. I don't remember the exact pasuk. She plants us, right, as a vine in a grapevine. So it might mean Netasorek betoch karmi. What's the Sorek? What's the karmi? So it might mean Netasorek. Sorek is us. Plant us. And the karmi is Eretz Yisrael. Plant us in our homeland, meaning plant us there. So what does it plant? When you plant something, it doesn't move, right? Let us dwell in Eretz Yisrael and not be exiled again. Or it's some Achronim say it means the Kerem is the Jewish people. So what's the Sorek? The Sorek is very often Mashiach and Sefer Sheyahu is compared to, right? This is in Zechariah, he made the of the Tzemach, right? The Mashiach is compared to a branch, a tree, a flowering tree. A tzemach David avdecha meira tatzmiach. A tzemach is something that grows. Right? So maybe it means the tatzorek to karmi, Hashem should bring the Mashiach in Am Yisrael. So either it means he should like add one plant of Mashiach to redeem Am Yisrael, or it means he should plant Am Yisrael in their land. Either it means a vine in an area called the Kerem, or it means there's already a lot of vines, but plant one vine that's going to be Mashiach. But either way, it means the Geula. She'ei Shavas Bnei Ami, She'ei is to listen to, right? Like Vayisha Hashem El Hevel Vil Mincha. So Shavas Basami, that's from Eicha, right? That's from the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av. Hine kol shavas bas ami. Shavas, here is shavas b'nei ami. Shavah is crying out for help. She'ei shavas b'nei ami. Hashem should listen to the tefillos of Klal Yisrael and bring us out of Golis. Okay, we'll continue with Hashem next week.
How did you start to use for
Shavah? I'm not sure we know whether he